Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the 14th episode of Tender Loving Care? With your host, myself, Pauline, and my darling Kate. Every week, Kate and I break down two shows from the TLC network. The name of the network that I believe for the longest time was an acronym for Tender Loving Care. And when I found out that it actually stood for the Learning Channel, and I saw the types of shows were on that channel, my deep confusion bred this podcast. Each week, Kate and I will randomly select two shows to cover for the next episode by spinning the Wheel of Shame, which has all 113 plus shows that we will be studying. Kate, hello.
Hello.
You know, we've made it to 14, and as we always say, I mean, decades this podcast will be going on as TLC keeps adding its pile of shit. But I'm very proud we're at 14, love.
Me too. It's been going so well.
I know. So we should say a little, maybe we should start with gratitude. Just want to say thank you to everyone that's listening right now. Everyone that has... it's following us on social media, everyone that has told someone, oh, there's this Yank and a Brit that does this podcast about TLC shows, you should listen to it. Thank you so much. Thank you to our friends, family and neighbours and wonderful people that support us and listen to it, because it means a lot and Kate and I really love doing this. So thank you. That was nice, right? We start with gratitude. Right?
That's very sweet.
Because, you know, the majority of stuff that I say on here is so horrendous that we need to just, if I can start with something nice,
I'll balance.
Exactly. So Kate and I are recording on a different day. Just to give you a little, I like to give our listeners like a little background, a little like, you know, behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. We're recording on a different day today. And Kate has been moving. So how are you doing with it? Are you sleepy peep? Are you got every stuff? Oh God, you texted me that you went to IKEA today.
I went to IKEA today. My friend Caitlin, shout out to Caitlin if you're listening, helped me move yesterday because my movers fell through.
What?
And, yeah.
Oh shit. We have to discuss that. What?
Well, they told me earlier in the week that they could do it, and then the next day they said, oh, actually, we can't. We don't have availability. And it was this company that was like college guys. And so it was really reasonably priced. And then I was trying to find a replacement, and everyone else, it was like $800, $900. And it was such a simple move. And so I was like, oh, maybe my friend will help me. And so I asked Caitlin, and she's like, oh, of course. And I'm on the second floor and it's hot Texas weather.
Why is it? I feel like that's always the way. I only ever move when it's boiling hot. It always coincides with a day where you're just dripping in sweat.
It was 100 degrees at least, and just tight corners. And we brought my couch up. It's small. It's futon, really. And
okay.
We had to turn it on its end several times.
Pivot.
Yeah, bury that. And then we got into my apartment finally and just threw it on the ground. And we were just like... it was so...
Sweat tumbling off your bodies.
It was so intense. I was like, Caitlin, I'm taking you out to a really nice dinner because this was so nice of you.
You're so kind. Caitlin's so kind. You are in your house.
I'm in... And I've started to, decorate and get all settled. It's just a studio, so it's pretty easy to get it all together, So.
It's going to be wonderful. I'm so glad you're in, but I anticipate that you are pretty exhausted. But you know what? Kate rallied. Kate didn't put this off. Kate rallied for the pod because that's the dedication that she has. Oh, hang on. And she's holding something up. Is this an alcoholic beverage?
Yes.
What is this? Mega... Oh, you've got your beer, your local beer.
Yes. I've had this before. It's the Austin Beer Works Mega Flora Juicy Double IPA. It's really good.
Kate, we have to get some sponsorship. I realize we are not dropping enough names. Repeat the company of this company.
Austin Beer Works.
Austin Beer Works. So we're going to have to see... Here's the thing. If we can just get sponsorship from alcohol, we're happy. If we could just get, that's good. Because the whole reason Kate and I are doing this podcast is to just obviously benefit our lives with travel and alcohol. Yes. So we've already said, everyone that's listening in Switzerland, Germany, Australia, if you're listening, you have offered us a place to stay. So when we travel, we now know we have all these places to stay. We drink alcohol throughout every podcast that we record. Mm-hmm. We'll start dropping names and then we can get sponsored by that. So as we move on, Kate, we should really start looking at dropping British Airways. dropping airlines. We should reach for these big dreams, Kate.
Yeah.
Reach big.
I want to be able to do everything we do for free. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's all about us. And I am currently having, what am I having? I'm having Casamigos. What am I having? Blanco. And it was on sale at Ralph's. So that was nice. Because usually it's $80 or something like this for this bottle, but it was down to 40 and I thought, ooh, bargain. So this podcast is now sponsored by Casamigos. It's sponsored by George Clooney and... can't remember his name, but it's Cindy Crawford's husband. So both of them are sponsoring us.
I'll take it.
Exciting stuff, Kate. Exciting stuff. All right. We should probably get on to our shows that we're going to cover. As you know, Wheel of Shame gives us two shows each week. And Kate, I think we should, if you're ready, we'll dive into the first one.
All right. So we talked about the first, version of this show. This is kind of a sequel of sorts.
Yes, it is.
It's called Return to Amish. Return to Amish finds rebels Abe, Jeremiah, Rebecca, and Sabrina back to face new struggles as they come to terms with the fact that life doesn't get any easier after leaving their Amish community behind.
Is basically all just a very long, wordy euphemism for TLC completely ruined these people's lives. So, I mean,
oh my God.
As you are, if you're a regular listener, Kate, I can't remember which episode it was. We're on 14 now, but whatever one, a couple, maybe three or four back, we did, the Wheel of Shame gave us Breaking Amish. Mm-hmm. So we go back and have a listen to that. I think it was episode 9, 10, something like that. And we cover that. It was basically a set of Amish and Mennonite kids. There was four seasons. Two of them were concentrated on one group. And then the other ones were different members of the Amish and Mennonite society. And then they put community. And then they put them in LA and New York. and said, let's see how you deal with this. Classic TLC. How can we mess these innocent people up as much as possible?
Pretty much led them down a path of drugs, alcohol, pregnancies,
so
terrible relationships,
so much it, everything. So much it. I mean, it's all arrest records. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we covered all that thoroughly, and then we pulled this for the Wheel of Shame, and I think the Wheel of Shame was doing a nice little throwback. It was like, you know what, let's wrap up Amish, let's wrap it all up.
Yeah.
So we started, Kate and I, once again, there were six seasons, so as listeners know, Kate and I will not, we simply cannot, actually we simply cannot watch six seasons of a reality show. You know, call us lazy, but it's just a lot of time. It's a lot of time to do that.
And we've learned you really don't need to.
That's the thing. Actually, that's a much better way to put it. We have learned through our copious watching of TLC shows at this point in episode 14 that you don't need to watch every single freaking episode and every single season. Do first and last. So I just texted Kate. It was like, let's do first and last. And she was like, yep, that'll wrap it all up. And I can tell you that's all we needed. Because you have to remember as well, guys, not only are we watching full seasons, but they have like 10 episodes. If we're lucky, it's sometimes more. They're all 40 plus minutes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is. Kate and I will really just have to give ourselves over to this podcast if we decided to watch everything. So we're not there yet. But once we get the money coming in from George Clooney and Austin Beer Company, then we're mm-hmm. good. But right now the money isn't coming in for them. So we did first and last.
Yeah.
So really, I mean, we can kind of go over who they covered. It definitely helps if you have, if you want to go back and listen to our episode of Breaking Amish, because we kind of go through all the players. And these players that were in the first and second season of Breaking Amish are featured in season one and season six. So just to kind of go over who they are for people that do know, we've got Abe and Rebecca. They were a couple that they met apparently, and they got married in the first season of Breaking Amish, but it comes to light that they actually already knew each other and already had a baby with each other. It was very odd. We're meeting up with them again. We meet up with Mary and Katie Ann. Mary is the older woman who's kind of like the matriarch in for all of these people, and her daughter, Katie Ann. And if you had listened to our previous episode, you will remember their infamous scene of eating the beef out of a jar, which continues. Oh, which continues. So there was a lot of nausea from me. A lot of nausea. It was. Then we also have Kate. Kate was the model. She was a bishop's daughter in the Amish community. She went to New York in the first season, genuinely became an actual paid model, not like an Instagram model. She really is a working model. And then we had Jeremiah. Oof. Yeah, Kate, that was exactly the right sound. Oof. All I can say is the one line that defines who Jeremiah is in his original appearance in the TLC show was he told another person in the show, another cast member who was adopted, quote, even your mother didn't want you. So that's really what we have to say about Jeremiah. And that other cast member is Sabrina. Now, all of the above people are all Amish. Sabrina was an ex-Mennonite. And Sabrina, as I said on the episode when we first covered Breaking Amish, is Sabrina is someone that is just, and I don't say this lightly, just broken. Just, there is some, and I think the thing that I said is there are some people that the world is very hard for them, or they can't cope with the world, but she just couldn't cope with anything. She's the world's just been very hard to her. I think it was along those lines. And we meet her again, and there is a lot. a lot of stuff that's going on with her. So, Kate, do you... I think those are all the... Oh, and Andrew, who left jail, and his girlfriend, Chapel, who I have some gossip on. Ooh. So, Kate, I don't know if you want to take us through kind of where we meet them and, you know, what's going on with them all when we first, like, get into the first season.
Sure. Okay, so... As Pauline said, I'll start with Kate. So
yeah.
Kate is really a sore thumb in this group of sad people. Because Kate is happy and
flourished.
Thriving in New York City. She gets to walk in New York Fashion Week.
Yep.
And, you know, whether or not that was staged, I don't know.
Because, I think Alex McCord from Real Housewives of New York walked in, technically walked to New York Fashion Week. So, yeah.
So we see her. So,
throwback, bravo.
So we see Kate meeting with this designer who's inspired by Amish fashion. It's like, oh, you don't say. What a coincidence. So she's doing well. She has her own little apartment. Sabrina... Sabrina is pregnant and the father is not being supportive. She's not in a good place.
I mean, she's not. I mean, we should say as well that when we left them in season two of Breaking Amish, because this group only did season one and season two of Breaking Amish. When we left them, they had all kind of done this road trip down to Florida. Once again, go back and listen to our episode. They went down to Florida. There was a whole load of drama. And then some stayed, some parted. And we're meeting them now kind of at the beginning of the epidemic. So I think, you know, if it was, the epidemic was 2020, this was like, we kind of see them around Thanksgiving 2019. And as Kate says, you know, you see how Kate's doing. And she's in New York and she's doing really well. And then the first scene for Abe and Rebecca is that they kind of all went back to Pennsylvania, which is very interesting. Everyone apart from Kate, actually, all of them, I think Sabrina was in Florida, but everybody else went back to Pennsylvania where they originally came from. Kate was in New York, Sabrina was in Florida. So Abe and Rebecca, the couple, they were back in Pennsylvania, ex-Amish, and they have a second baby on the way. So she's really about to pop. She's about to have the baby. As Kate said,
the sixth season at the beginning of the pandemic?
Oh, you might be right. Was it? You might actually be right. So,
because I think you're right. Season,
they're in Florida.
They're going to Florida because it's quote you're not right. as bad in Florida.
That was great. COVID was fine. COVID. There was no COVID. I'm so glad you noticed that. Yeah, I didn't write that. You're right. So
this is
the first season. Is God knows when. Yeah, they must have filmed this like straight. Who knows? But it was Thanksgiving time anyway in that part of the year.
Anyways, yeah. So first season's pre-pandemic.
Pre-pandemic. You're right. So we have Sabrina's pregnant. Rebecca's pregnant. Kate's coming in. Now Mary, who is the matriarch with her daughter Katie Ann, they had moved down to Florida. We say moved down. I mean, it was for the cameras and, you know, whatever. But they'd gone down there to kind of retrieve Abe because Abe is Mary's son. And they'd gone down to Florida and she'd been shunned because of it. Yeah. So the whole thing is that she's saying, let's get everyone, sorry, it wasn't Thanksgiving, it was Christmas. She's like, let's get everybody together for a Christmas party, which is just so obviously staged and TLC-ish. But that was the beginning. Kate's opening scene was her modeling underwear. Mary and Katie Ann were getting stuff together for a Christmas party, and how they were inviting people to the Christmas party was giving them jars of, I don't think it was like beef, but it was jars of something with an invitation.
Disgusting.
Nausea. Opening scene for Jeremiah was it makes me cringe because they want to do this. Oh, he's a bad boy. But he's... Kate, explain. Jeremiah, please. Explain.
He is like, think of that guy in your class who's just so troubled. He somehow still has sex with every girl.
How?
And you're like, who? Why? How? Probably, he probably has like a massive dick or something. I don't know, but he's just like
being very kind to him. Yeah, there's something.
Well, there's why? Because he's so just trashy, and
the word is trashy, and the word is also I
troubled.
It's troubled, but not even like a sexy brooding way. Like when I think of like a bad boy from when I was growing up, think of Jared Leto in My So-Called Life. Now that's a bad boy. That was a brooding. That was someone that completely qualifies. Jeremiah is someone that got really, as we said in the original thing, as soon as he left the Amish community, he got loads of bad tattoos, tribal tattoos. That's how you explain him. Tribal tattoos, gauges, mm-hmm. bad piercings. Mm-hmm. That's him. Mm-hmm. The opening scene, oh my God, it was so cringy. You see him walking into a diner. And he just sits down and says, I'll have my usual. And this waitress who was like 17 gives him a coffee. And she's like, oh, so. And you could literally see her like reading the lines off a board from behind the camera, like SNL. So what are you doing for Christmas? And he's like, oh, don't know yet. Might just be on my own. Fancy keeping me company.
Gross.
And she's just like, no. And then he throws down $10. It was so cringy the way they make him out, but he's not attractive enough to be a bad boy, let's say that.
No.
So
he's
anyway,
tragic.
That, he's tragic.
He makes
but
me
then,
really sad.
He makes me sad, but then we have Sabrina, Kate. Yeah. Her opening. She doesn't have, at least the upside is she doesn't have the bleached hair anymore that was orange, like Katie in Vanderpump Rules season 3.
Things have improved in that regard.
Things
yes.
have improved. She's back to a dark hair, but mm-hmm. she's back in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, which she describes as just a black hole. And she's pregnant. And she looks miserable. I mean, there is genuinely no other way to describe it. She is at the doctor's and she's getting a checkup and she is utterly clueless. And by the way, so much of this was complete. See, Return to Amish and Breaking Amish had a lot of, it was very, very popular. It had a big fan base, but it was also kind of broken down to expose that so much of it was fake. Like Abe and Rebecca already knew each other before they filmed the original show. They even had a kid together. Mm-hmm. Sabrina is here saying, oh, I'm pregnant, I don't know what to do. She already had two kids. Maybe I've got this wrong. It's hard with this timeline. But anyway, the child she's pregnant with eventually gets taken away from her. And she has two, she's now currently in 2022, she has like five kids, but two of them are no longer with her. It's her family won't speak to her. It's very, very sad.
Yeah. Season one, this is her first kid.
This is her first kid. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then by the time we get to season six, the first two kids, we'll get to this, but like the first two kids get taken away and she has had a third and she's pregnant with her fourth. So
okay, you're right. That's what it is. So this was genuine, but she's there pregnant, Kate. She doesn't know
a thing. She's like, I thought the baby comes out your belly button or something.
And I'm like genuinely, what? That's how she said before I knew any, like she was having sex and thinking that's what's happened when you have a baby. I mean, she was sat there with the doctor and just talking about how much she's like, I've heard people poop when they give birth and I heard people do all this and just asking these questions that she was like a child. It was really.
She goes, I heard someone told me that when you're giving birth, sometimes your butthole can fall out.
That's it. That's
and
it.
It's like a pink ring flies out and it's like I was like,
that's what it was.
I think she was trying to describe like a prolapsed
oh
thing, but
take my nausea, please.
Sorry.
My nausea.
which a lot
Casamigos of Casamigos won't even help me with this kind of nausea.
A lot of this ignorance has to do with the lack of education in these communities as they're growing up, of course. But
absolutely.
It's also like at this point they've been out for a long time, and like you said, they've been having sex, and it's like it's kind of wild that they don't know these basic things about childbirth and like sex and stuff.
This doctor just had no idea. So anyway, we see all these opening scenes, and then it's all about, you know, it's all built up that we're going to have this Christmas party at Mary's house. Abe and Rebecca are local. They're going to come by. Katie Ann is the daughter of Mary, so she's helping getting all the food ready and things like that. Kate is coming in from New York, being successful and being happy and being, like, well-adjusted, apparently. Jeremiah is homeless, flirting with a waitress, and he's like, so his whole premise was, when we went to Florida, Mary and Katie Ann just imposed on us and stayed with us, so I'm going to do the same with them. I have nowhere to live. So he comes in, and then Sabrina comes in. So they're all having this Christmas together. Jeremiah comes in first, and it was so staged. He was like reading the lines as well. Well, you stayed with us in Florida, time to return the favor. And Mary's like, okay, you can stay with us. And Mary is like an old school Amish woman, and it's interesting how she became part of this show. She drinks, and she went to New York, and she went to Florida, and she definitely has the urge to see more of the world. But she said, I'm completely shunned. Kate came in next. She just happened to have her magazines of her just, you know, modeling and underwear, which Jeremiah proceeds to look at and go, oh, I'm looking at her in a different way now. I mean, it's as though you're dealing with just a 12... It's really hard to watch his scenes. Really hard.
He's so immature.
So immature. And then so everyone's there, and then Sabrina comes in. My heart broke for her. She did... Basically, when she was doing her interviews and she was asked about the father of this child, she just says, I won't discuss it. She looked terrified and clueless about being pregnant, and she came in this door to everyone, that especially greeting Kate, who's all tall and thin and living in New York and modeling. And Sabrina comes in, she's like 8.5 months pregnant, and she came in and she just completely broke down, and it was really sad because she has no one. This girl just has no one. And it was really, really hard to see.
She remains my favorite cast member.
Same. Same. And when we get into season 6, there was a lot that happened. But so, you know, it was really, really hard to see that. So we have this whole Christmas dinner, right? And I was actually really interested because they were showing like the cakes and little things and traditions that they do for an Amish Christmas. So that to me was really interesting. So that gave me some pounds of learning, which we'll get to at the end of the episode. But it was really interesting, like the little cakes and the chocolate things they make and like the presents they give and all the stuff that they do was really cool. So you're seeing them all becoming acquainted again. It's Christmas Day. They sit down. And then we have someone coming out of jail, of course, because literally Sabrina went to jail. Jeremiah's definitely been to jail a couple of times. Abe's been to jail. Like, nearly all of them have. But this is Andrew. Andrew is Abe's brother. So Mary is the mother of Abe and Andrew. And Andrew we saw in Breaking Amish when they were in LA. And he was just a mess. He was an absolute disaster. And he ended up in jail at the very end of it. So he's been in jail. He has a girlfriend called Chapel, who they call English, meaning that she's not a Mennonite, not Amish. And he says he's been to jail, quote, I don't know, 4 or 5 times. Chapel has stood by him the entire time. She's from local community, apparently just, you know, wants to marry him, wants to be with him. And she had bone cancer, and she said she had bone cancer and that he had stood by her and helped her through it all. So she says, that's why I'm always going to stand by Andrew. Now here's the drama. Chapel, this is a lot. But Jeremiah claims that Chapel tried to sleep with him because this Jeremiah, apparently, Kate, we all want to sleep with him. I don't know if you knew that, but it's the barbed wire tattoos, it's the tribal, it's everything that we all want to sleep with them. So they're going to sit down at the dinner table, and Chapel's coming in, and Jeremiah's like, yeah, you know, Andrew hates me, and Andrew's doing his interview saying, if I see that Jeremiah, I'm going to fuck him up, blah, 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 because he said that my girlfriend wanted to sleep with him, blah, blah, blah. But then we also add that Andrew slept with Rebecca. Just to put this all these like red lines together. Rebecca is his sister-in-law, and yeah, she admitted to it. They apparently got together and slept together. Did you? That was like briefly mentioned. Did you see that, Kate?
Well, that was a rumor on right. Breaking it was a Amish. Rumor.
Yeah,
but I remember thinking that there had to be something to it because he was so upset. Like, there was so much real emotion I was seeing that I was like, something happened. Yep. And then, yeah, it comes up again on
and
this.
It happened. She's like, oh, yeah. I don't know. It kind of happened and it didn't. Oh, I don't know. She's like a horrible
it
character as well.
To happen. Oh, her hair.
Her hair, her face, her everything. Her She's voice. A miserable. Yeah, horrible. Yeah. So we're walking in to a dinner party, a Christmas dinner, where we have Abe and Rebecca. Rebecca has slept with her husband's brother. Mm-hmm. And then we have the brother's girlfriend, Chapel, who apparently tried to sleep with Jeremiah. So they come in late, Andrew and Chapel. And of course, the fight breaks out. And then you have what's her name, Rebecca, going, oh, I'm gonna go into labor, I'm gonna go to labor. She was having like Braxton Hicks or whatever that is, like false labor.
Yeah.
And well, what was in Chapel? Yeah,
oh, sorry. Well, Chapel, what sets Jeremiah off is Chapel brings up his kids because he says that she is an immature baby or something, and then she goes, well, you're not even taking care of your kids or something like that. And he's like, that was what I said about this whole thing. No one's going to bring up my kids.
Yep.
And
yep,
he storms out, and it's, and then you have Mary and, what's the dad's name?
Oh, the dad. We finally see Mary's husband, which we didn't see. He is, we'll get to him because I know I have him written somewhere, but yeah, we finally see him. We hadn't seen him before, but he's interesting looking.
He is interesting looking. Little girl
said. Just slipping that in. But you're right. So Jeremiah explodes. And by the way, this is what we forget. He has like three kids by somebody else.
You forget because he never really talks about the kids. You never see the kids. And he acts like a complete fool all the time. And so it's crazy that he has children. Like, that was a completely fair thing for her to say, honestly.
Oh, completely. Completely. And he's just like, and he's like to the producers or whoever's out there, probably Jeff the PA, I don't want to do this anymore, and throwing his mic pack. And it's just like, you don't mention my kids. And all these people that love to go, don't mention my kids, and how about you be a good parent and then you have nothing to worry about discussing your kids? Like, how about that?
I wonder why this is a touchy topic for you.
I wonder why. Oh, it's because you're a complete deadbeat with no job, living out of your car, and you fathered kids that you no longer have anything to do with. Got it. Check. Okay. Check, check, check. Right. Come for me, Jeremiah. Okay, so so he'll probably think I fancy him. I don't fancy you, Jeremiah. So anyway, we see this. He storms off, and then Rebecca's like, I'm going into labor. And one of the Amish traditions, which I thought was fascinating, was get her a comb, because like to brush your hair, because the Amish believe you if you squeeze a comb in each hand, it will help with labor pains. And it makes sense in that you're basically it's like, let's start amputating your ankle so you'll be concentrating more on that pain than you will on labor pains. It's kind of the less severe version of that.
Yeah,
so it kind of makes sense. But they were doing that, and then Oh, I also want to mention how horrible Rebecca is. She still hates Kate because she's insanely jealous of her. Mm-hmm. And Rebecca saw Sabrina, who came in like with her head hung low and just so sad about being pregnant and being where she is. Rebecca goes, quote, "Oh, she's huge." She's just such a horrible person, miserable. This Rebecca. And I just feel like no one pulls her up on it. She sleeps with her husband's brother. She's terrible to everyone. She's super mean, and no one pulls her up on anything. I don't get it.
She's like Stassi Schroeder of this cast. Yeah, like,
that's so complimentary. Well, I'd pull that bitch up on a lot. So, anyway, we have her going into labor. She doesn't actually go into labor. Jeremiah's pissed off. Sabrina's just crying because of her life.
Christmas is ruined.
Christmas is ruined, essentially. So that was that. And then what? I literally have notes, I think, just on that first episode. What else happens in season one?
So the next thing that kind of happens is we have Mary and Katie Ann going on this, you know, very set up trip to New York City, and they're kind of flashing in between Kate going on these interviews for Fashion Week and having this really hectic, amazing week in her career, and then you have these two coming up from the country, and they show up and they're walking around the city. Do you know Kate? Do you know Kate?
Literally stopping people in the street. Do you know Kate? That's near her apartment building. Do you know Kate?
Moss? Like, what are you?
Yeah.
And they finally get someone to lend them their phone, and they call Kate, and she's like, hi, yeah, it's a really busy week. And Mary's like, well, we're in the city. Can we come stay with you? Oh, and God. Kate's like, I guess. And so then they go and stay with her, and she is introducing them to vegetables and hummus.
Don't. These scenes, I mean.
She takes her to the parties. Remember the scene? So, okay, I have to talk about this whole. This was like a really big part of this season for me. So, it's New York Fashion Week. They're staying with Kate in her tiny apartment. And it's the night of or night after. There's like an after party for the fashion show.
I literally just had to show. Kate is going to tell us this entire story. And I just grabbed the bottle of, sponsored by Casamigos, to just add to my little margarita here. Because I need a little touch more while you go ahead with this, Kate. So I'll be opening the bottle. You go ahead.
Drink up. So they are getting ready, and Kate is modeling all these outfits for Katie Ann. And first of all, we have to describe Katie Ann.
Yes.
Before I go on, because the story will have more impact if we describe Katie Ann is very much attached to her mother's hip. Very, very sheltered, very quiet, hasn't had a chance to grow a personality, really, because she's in this very sheltered community, and she doesn't get to speak for herself a lot, and so what else would you say about her? She's
mousy,
docile.
She is the sister of Abe and Andrew, which who have been in prison and who have been, you know, arrested for this and gone onto these wild ways. And she is not outgoing and not considered very pretty. So she becomes obsessed with Kate, and she obsessed with her. And of course, she's at an age where her mother is saying, you need to find a husband.
She's 19, I think, at this point.
Yeah, so she's old in the community.
Right, an old maid. Yeah. So they're getting ready to go to this party, but Katie Ann can't go because she's not 21 yet. And so Kate's modeling all these outfits. Katie Ann's like, oh no, too revealing, too revealing. So finally they settle on a dress and they head out and they get a limo. And so Mary and Kate are in this limo and Mary's like, ooh, I've always wanted to try champagne. And so they're drinking champagne, they're bumping music. Mary's leaning out the window. She keeps yelling out the window, I'm in New York. And it's just like, oh God. And she's like, I hope Katie Ann's okay. This is the longest she's ever been by herself. And they've been gone for like half an hour.
Yeah. She's just not left alone at night at all. Yeah. I know.
So they go to this party and it cuts back to Katie Ann. Katie Ann is like, I'm really excited because I've never dressed English before. And I just really want to be like Kate.
Love Kate. Love Kate.
She starts single white female style.
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
It's like a close up of her putting on, just rubbing on Kate's lipstick.
And putting on her tights and like all her clothes, going through her wardrobe, putting it on. I'm surprised she didn't put her knickers on. I don't know, she may have.
There's lost footage of her sniffing them, I bet.
Yes. Yeah. And putting tights on and her shoes on and the clothes on. It was a lot. And you know what? This is one of the scenes that I don't think was faked by TLC. Let's just say
either.
That. I think they were like, keep rolling. Keep rolling. She's going to do it. She's going to do it.
It was... It creeped
me out. It was
really
creepy. And then it was so anticlimactic because she ended up just going then and sitting on the sofa. She was all like dressed up in makeup on. She sat on the sofa.
Pulls up a magazine.
In Kate's clothes.
Or something.
Yeah. And I was like,
cut back so, to, cut, well, then they're partying. Yeah. And Mary, okay, I have thoughts about Mary. I feel like I think she is just doing Amish cosplay at this point. Like, she's not.
Right.
She's at a club. She's taking shots, drinking.
I know.
She's dancing with men. She's, like, swearing. And I just am like, I don't know. I got this feeling like she is loving being a reality star.
Oh, yeah.
And
I think that's true. I think that's true. I do also think that perhaps for her, it does the most realistic of everyone. Maybe I'm being naive. Shows how they grapple with wanting to do something with your life and being stuck in that Amish community. Because, I mean, Mary's probably in her, 50s or something, and film crew comes along, starts filming her son, she's in on it, starts experiencing this life, and she never did for 40 something odd years or 50 odd years. So I think that it's like her Rumspringer. I think it's her, it's her doing this in her 50s. But I think what you're saying is right, because she goes home and it's not like she's like, oh, it was all terrible and I hated it. She's like, it was good. I still have vodka here. I'm doing a vodka every night.
Right.
And yeah. Yeah.
At some point during this season, they're asking her like, well, would you still be Amish if Dad wasn't? And it kind of seems like if her husband decided to leave the community, she would too. You know, she would... She'd be like, yeah, let's just... And she's very much... I thought it was really nice that she's always saying, I will never abandon my children. I will always have a relationship with them, no matter what they decide to do.
Yes, absolutely.
Because a lot of the parents completely...
Oh, I mean, they completely shun them.
Yeah.
It really is a shunning. It really is. And in this season, we see her getting her and her husband being shunned from by the bishop. And the husband makes an appearance, which is so odd because we never saw him at all in the previous season. So he does come on camera. There are some things he won't talk about, the shunning by the bishop. But these, this is the thing that we can't really judge. We're going, well, are they then... just a complete anomaly, and if they're the only people in the Amish community, that the elders that would be on camera and do this, but perhaps a lot of others would if they were given the opportunity, but they're so ingratiated with their community and the rules and fear of the bishop that this is a genuine a genuine portrait of the elders that want to kind of rebel as well. And they're going on national television. I mean, it's not like a mild...
I mean, these are people that don't even have baby photos because...
Right, they can't afford...
It's devil's work to have to take a photo.
But then that kind of makes sense. We, as reality TV aficionados, understand what it means to be on reality TV. But that then kind of plays into what we're saying because they're so ignorant. They have no idea what reality TV is. They have no idea that TLC comes in and edits the shit out of everything, films what they want, portrays them however they want, and then puts it on television to millions of people. So they could definitely have approached it innocently of like, they didn't even know what television, I mean, they know what it is, but they don't experience it.
I agree with that for Breaking Amish, but not for Return to Amish.
Oh, true. That's true.
Because at this point, they know about
that's
it.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. You're right. But you're right. She definitely wants to. She's love it. She's enjoying the camera. I mean, she's happy with it all.
Yeah.
So then what else happened? So Rebecca has the baby. Sabrina has her baby.
They bitch about Kate a lot.
Kate. Jeremiah, what happens with him? Does he just keep doing that? I can't even remember. I don't even know what happens in that season with him. I think it's him going back and forth. That's what it is. It's him going back and forth, but actually going back to being Amish. He's like, should I go back? That's what it is.
And the thing with him is he's one person where I think it would actually do him a lot of good. Not because I think he needs religion so much, but he needs structure.
He needs structure.
Because his childhood was so turbulent and
because what we'll discuss in season six, like I know we've already spent a long time on this, but in season six is that both Jeremiah and Sabrina were adopted into Mennonite and Amish families, and they have a massive amount of baggage that they deal with, wanting to know, you know, who their family was and why they were given up and everything, which we will get into with Jeremiah because that is okay. So just to sum up, there is one important thing I just want to put into season one that ends it. Season one, I know Kate and I just skipped to season six, but we don't see Abram and Rebecca again. They're kind of gone. Andrew ends up marrying Chapel. Chapel claims that her cancer has come back. He ends up proposing to her. You know, you see her having a hard time getting the wedding dress and things like this. Mm-hmm. And we never see her again. So season six comes, we never see her again. Kate does all the research on StarCasm, the great sites. I decided to just Google her. And I don't want to say I don't know if I went to Daily Mail Heights, but there was something I went to that I read. Chapel and Andrew kind of disappeared. She had claimed that she had stage 4 lung cancer. Now, unfortunately, I have experience with when a doctor says to you stage 4, not personally, but family. When someone stage 4, you don't come back from. You just, the majority, especially lung cancer, you don't come back from that. And she claimed she had that. And they got married. I started Googling her. Well, Chapel has a little bit of a history. As in that she was arrested on a massive 24-person drug ring. She was arrested for supplying clean urine for people to pass drug tests. She was also part of a drug bust, possession with intent to distribute, and apparently she never had cancer. I'm so glad I shocked you. I didn't know if you knew this, Kate. As we say, we never discuss before the pod. Hashtag save for the potty.
I didn't do my usual research this week because I was busy moving.
You see all her mug shots. She was in the... You've got to watch this, listeners. You see her and she's just this, you know, this poor woman that has had cancer and is currently being I don't know if she originally did have cancer. We don't know that. But she was re-diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. She gets married. She's very weak. She's kind of dealing with everything. She's supporting her husband. She's this good girl. No, she was in a drug bust clean urine, supplying it to all these people that had to get to their probation officer. She had all this drug paraphernalia. She was like sentenced to God knows how much, but she was charged with everything. And she's vanished. So because I started Googling, like, how is her health? And everyone was like, she didn't die. She disappeared. Yeah.
That is shocking.
It's so shocking if you watch it. Because you see her and everyone has sympathy for her.
Yeah. And I remember now, like, the end of the last episode of season one of Return. It's the wedding. And who is it? One of the other girls is in their confessional, and they're like, you know what? Whether Chapel lives or she dies,
she's probably Rebecca.
Yeah. She has really done something with, you know, inspiring people to live their life. And like, it's this big inspirational speech she's giving about, like, oh, Chapel, what a great person. And
apparently you read everything. And that was not a truthful diagnosis. That's just what I read.
Yeah.
But the girl was getting arrested left, right, and center.
The bone one must have been true, though,
that's
right?
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, I'm
thinking she's hobbling because she has...
I wouldn't doubt that. We have a reason to doubt it, but I wouldn't, just because I think that she claimed that he was there when she was going through chemo and helping her with everything, which is very, very plausible, absolutely. And it's fantastic that she survived bone cancer, because a lot of people don't. But according to what I read, the majority of public opinion is that was falsified.
Oh,
and
wow.
She was also on a lot of charges for drug possession, paraffin, 27 person bust. That's what I have here. 27 person drug bust. She was involved in that.
That's wild.
And you can't find anything. I was Googling, like, it's not Abe, it's Andrew and Chapel, and you can't find anything about them anymore.
Oh, and listeners, Andrew, by the way, her husband, and the brother of
Abe
is scary.
He is
really, really bad anger issues.
Yeah.
The whole premise, his whole storyline this last episode, is that he didn't get a shirt for his own wedding. And so he's speeding to Walmart, and he has a producer in the car, and he is like running up on people, riding their ass, you know, behind their car. He's screaming, "What the fuck? How do you drive?" And the producer, you hear the producer like, "Oh God."
Yeah. And he was, when he was in LA, it was bubbling. It was seething. And by the way, he's been in jail, as I say, 4 to 5 times.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a Jax. He is a Jax. It was just like an Amish Jax.
And when we say that, that's
thrown back to Bravo, Vanderpump Rules.
And that made me sad, too, at the beginning of the season with Chapel, because she's like, you know, I wouldn't really be giving him another chance, but he helped me when I was ill. And I'm like, oh, Chapel. Oh, my God.
I know. So anyway, I wanted to throw that. But we have spent nearly an hour discussing season one. So listeners, I'm sorry. Let's get on to season six. Kate, do you just want to do a brief of what happens in season six? We have some people remaining, some people not from the first season.
Yeah. So everyone's going to back to Sarasota, Florida to film. And they're all saying, quote unquote, because the virus is not as bad down there. And it's like, it's worse down there, but okay.
Jeremiah,
Sabrina.
Yeah.
There's a new older woman, Ada.
Ada, exactly.
And we find out last season had season five, had a donut making business with Jeremiah.
Yes.
And now she has her own housekeeping business. She seemingly has this really nice house in Florida.
I know.
I was like, what? And then we have these two new girls, Rosanna and Maureen.
Yes.
Who are just now leaving the Amish community, and they're younger.
Yes.
And so let's see.
So we have no Abe and Rebecca.
No.
We have no Kate. None of these people are left over. So from the original,
Andrew.
As No, Andrew. So is Kate. Yeah, because they're on the run somewhere.
Exactly.
So we just have Sabrina and we go into it. They're all going down to Florida to be with this woman. And as Kate said, we didn't watch season 5, so we don't really know the transition of who this Ada woman is. But she's taken over from Mary. And by the way, I would imagine when I watch this that Mary was probably upset. She's not the matriarch anymore. TLC has gone, fuck that. Like, we have a new one.
Yeah.
Her reality TV, she's just now shunned from the community and she didn't even get any more TLC money. Nope. But Ada is old order Amish, but she is like Mary in the sense that she says all of these kids are like my family. Mm-hmm. So Sabrina, we open up with Sabrina and her boyfriend Jethro, who is also ex-Mennonite, and she's pregnant again. And what we found out from season 1 to season 6, she's on her 4th kid.
She says, the last time you saw me, I had just suffered a miscarriage. She was addicted to heroin. She suffered the miscarriage, went to rehab, met God, who she said is a woman, got a new boyfriend named Jethro, had another kid, and is pregnant again.
So per season is probably a year, if we're lucky, like maybe a little bit more, 18 months, something like that. So from season 1 to season 6, this girl's had two kids that have been taken away from her, battled a heroin addiction, went to rehab, had a miscarriage, and then had another kid and is now pregnant with another kid.
Yes.
And you're just like, wow, I thought my life was dramatic. Apparently, I am very, very boring. When you put your life in the scheme of some others, you just go, I have a very boring life, apparently.
And when we say she just had a kid, her kid is a baby. And she's, they're in their confessional, her and Jethro, her boyfriend. And she's like, he can't keep his hands off me. And he's like, she walks around the house with a shirt on and no underwear, like Winnie the Pooh, apparently. And it was
a throwback, by the way, to the man with the 80-pound groin. Because you said that he was like Winnie the Pooh, walking around just with a shirt on, yep. No underwear. Yep. So, yep. Guys, if you haven't listened to it, go back to our episode 11 of The Man with the 80-pound groin. So you're right. So we see Sabrina and she has this boyfriend. So you're kind of happy, shocked, you're completely shocked, but happy that she got over this addiction, sad she's lost his two kids, maybe she's with this guy that's okay, she's on to the second baby. Jeremiah, now. I'm gonna say his story in season 6 is unbelievable. So yeah. He's married to this woman called Carmela, who looks, I would say, Kate, I would say maximum is 34. And she says in a confessional, I have 4 kids and I'm a grandmother.
Oh, I miss that. She's a grandma.
She is not, no way 40. No. I would, if she was 35, I'd be shocked.
I thought and she I'm was like 27 or something.
She's a grandmother.
I honestly couldn't,
and they both work at the airport. Jeremiah has a job and you're kind of like, oh shit, okay, he's got a wife. I know he was married before and he has all these other kids. He's taken on who knows how many kids with her, and they both work at the airport, and immediately you go into Carmela saying that they nearly got fired, or he was put on some kind of suspension because he got in a fight with a co-worker at the airport because one of them chatted to her, and Jeremiah's like, it was the best job I ever had. I don't know. And they're all like, the pandemic is getting really out of control. Let's all go to Florida.
And of course, Jeremiah's anti-mask. Some guy.
We knew.
Jeff the PA.
We knew. Jeff the PA Jeff came the, out. Yep.
He's playing.
He did.
He's playing a random passerby who goes, "Hey, so put on a mask."
Yeah. Yeah. They get out of the airport in Sarasota, God knows where they are in Florida, and someone just walks past, like, "Put on a mask, asshole," or something. And we knew it was Jeff. Like, Kate and I now know how to spot Jeff the PA.
Oh, yeah.
So versatile, such great theatrical training. He can just turn out a character, whether it's a stripper in Georgia or whether it is some angry person in Florida. He can do it all.
He's the
Jeff.
He's the Daniel Day-Lewis of TLC. He gets really method with it. Yeah. He didn't drink anything but monsters for...
Yes. Jeff, the PA, as Kate just said so eloquently, is the Daniel Day-Lewis of reality TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He is outstanding and still getting paid $200 a day.
Yep.
But I mean, he's just amazing. So then it's kind of the premise that they're all coming down to Florida. Sabrina pregnant with the kid, with her boyfriend, Jeremiah with his wife, coming down to Ada's house, who owns a house in Florida. Maureen, who is, I think they're all like eight, Maureen and Rosanna, these two new kids, and they're like 18, 19, mm-hmm. something like that. Mm-hmm. Maureen is a teacher in one of the schools in the Amish community. And she said she was always made fun of because she's a little bit chubby. And she says she wants to explore the world. She's in love with a Amish taxi driver. So this is interesting and adds to the pounds of learning. When you're in the Amish community, you have they obviously go in buggies everywhere. But when they need to be in a car, they have an ex-Amish that has like a car that's like a taxi. So they will call an ex-Amish. And this guy was named Daniel. Kate.
What? He's very handsome.
Listeners, you heard that. And if we had viewers, you would have seen that. Daniel appears, and there seems to be, once again, this is coming from an English person, some issue with the teeth or some issue around that area. And then we hear a horrific story from Maureen, who is... So she's in love with Daniel, right? This taxi driver. She's like, I'm in love with him. Like, I just think he's amazing. I want to marry him. And by the way, when he was 18 months old, he drank Drano. So that's why his face is all messed up. And you're like, oh.
It does remain functional.
It remains functional. But the poor man, apparently the doctors said that they could do plastic surgery on him Drano ate away his entire like lips, and I mean he was 18 month old baby. It's horrific to think about, and they didn't do it. The Amish, as per Maureen, the Amish said, well, this was God's will that he drank Drano at 18 months old.
So not surprising that he left that community.
Yeah, poor man. But yeah, anyway, he but Maureen's in love with him, which mm-hmm. is really kind of beautiful. And you see them and he's like, so Rosanna is actually Rebecca's cousin. So even though Rebecca isn't featured, Rebecca's cousin, she had her teeth all pulled out at 16, but that's another thing. So Maureen and Rosanna are like the young kids. Daniel drives them all the way down to Florida. In Florida, Maureen is...
Wait, he drives them to the airport, and then they have this huge scene of them in the airport discovering the escalator, discovering the hand dryers. And then they go up to the counter and they're like, 2 tickets to Florida, please.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's like, okay, can I get your driver's license? And they're like, we don't have IDs. We don't have driver's licenses. We have a social security card. He's like, how'd you get that without a license? Anyways, so then, they call the guy and they drive down. And
so that's kind of like a road trip thing. Yeah. But they end up going down there and she's like, I'm in love with him. And then you have, well, the first night Rosanna has, literally she looks like she's going into having a fit because she's so overcome by everything. Plus she's in Florida weather, which is this humid, muggy, full of mosquitoes. Like she just has this complete fit, and I think she was like dehydrated and having a panic attack essentially.
Mm-hmm.
The ambulance comes. This is all COVID time. Anyway, we see Maureen and Roseanne, and their whole kind of arc is that they're young and they're just doing everything that all the previous people did, discovering becoming English and trying on the clothes and everything like that. And Rosanna gets angry at Maureen because she's so in love with Daniel.
Rosanne in love.
How are you doing, Kate? How are you doing? Is Rosanna in love with
Maureen?
Yes, exactly. Yep. Thank you. I was just waiting for you to finish that. Yep. Rosanna is completely in love with Maureen. Maureen even insinuates, it's not that hard to catch, but they go and get bikinis. Their first time they wanted to get bikinis, and Rosanna is very, very slim. Maureen says, she's chubby. And the person that was helping them with bikinis, she's Maureen was like, oh, she's paying so much attention to Rosanna and Rosanna loves it. She kept saying, I've never seen Rosanna light up so much when talking to someone. So there was this constant insinuation that Rosanna was gay, but they never really said it.
She goes on a date with a guy and he is a dream. I thought he was.
Oh, he's. Hello. We lived in LA and dated. Like, we know what bad dates are. This guy was respectful and nice and took her, like, and she's so angry at this guy for finding her attractive.
They go mini golfing. Someone makes fun of her for her outfit because these two young girls, they're wearing the traditional Amish garb pretty much the whole season until the last episode. And so she's getting made fun of. He stands up for her. And then they have this very sweet date. And towards the end, he's like, can I kiss you?
Yeah.
And she gets so uncomfortable. She's just like, no.
Visceral, yeah.
And then she's telling Sabrina about it later. And she's like, he was just a creep. And he wasn't attractive at all. He was gross. And he was disgusting.
She was like, he was fat. And
he was fat. He was not fat.
Most horrible thing she said about this boy.
And he was
like a
19-year-old
college student that was just like, oh, I want to take you on a date. Do you mind if I kiss you? And when she said no, he goes, oh, I feel really badly about asking.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, he goes, I hope she gives me another chance. And, you know, I would never want to, insult her. And
I want to be like, let me tell you about my dating experiences, love. And then you'll get the shock of your life.
He asked you if you want to kiss you.
I know, seriously.
He just stick his tongue in your mouth.
Yeah, it was, I don't know what's going on there, but I think there will be some things revealed. Let's say that.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think what else happened with them. So then Maureen gets together with Daniel and they have their first kiss, which is probably one of the most disgusting, horrendous things you've ever seen in your entire life. TLC films it all. Maureen doesn't know how to kiss. He's drank Drano. And so they're just like, I don't know how to describe it, Kate. They're wagging each other's tongues in their mouth. It's really odd and really bizarre and really uncomfortable.
The tongues are sticking out and the tips of them are flicking each other up and down.
I can't.
It's so
and
weird.
And then, you know, the perfect line is, oh, that escalated quickly. Because the next scene you see, Maureen's like, I'm going to go and have sex with him. I'm losing my virginity. And then she comes home in the morning and everyone's like, it's horrible. You have Rosanna and you have Sabrina waiting up. This is all in Florida. I don't know where they are. I think they're back in Pennsylvania due to the pandemic. Yeah. And Sabrina's like, oh, did you just have sex? Did you just lose your virginity? And she's like, oh, I don't want to talk about this. And they're like, yeah, come on, talk about it. Tell me what it was like. All on camera. It was horrible.
I thought Sabrina was being kind of like older sister about it.
It was Rosanna that was awful.
She's
awful.
In love with her. And Sabrina even says in her confessional, she's like, she sounded like a jealous boyfriend.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah.
Yeah. Rosanna has a lot to deal with her sexuality.
And
let's say that.
And she goes, oh, you stink. Do you smell that, Sabrina? You stink. You need to go shower. Go wash your hands.
It was horrible. Like, it was so dark.
I know.
And I was like, of course, TLC, keep rolling,
oh,
keep
God,
filming.
This is a good one.
But it really was very uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was weird.
And in the end, I think, does he ask her to marry him?
I don't know.
Who cares? But the main thing, the only thing we're going to end this on is Jeremiah.
Yes.
I'm going to go back to Jeremiah.
Yes.
So, all of this is kind of, well, first of all, you know, before I do Jeremiah, because that really is the, like, dessert, let's do the main meal, and that's Sabrina.
Mm.
She's pregnant. She has the second baby, her fourth, but the second with Jethro. She finds out this piece of shit has been messaging multiple women sexually. Multiple. His response is not one of piety, is not one of pleading forgiveness. He simply goes, oh, are we going to start on this again? He is horrific and then walks out the door. She has two children and he just goes, I need time to myself. And once again, I just put here, poor Sabrina, dumped and abandoned again.
She's beat a heroin addiction. She has had two of her children taken away from her. Her family doesn't really talk to her, support her.
No, no.
And she has two babies under the age of two.
Yep, yep.
And he goes, oh, all you do is nag me. You never talk to me. Da, 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 da. And it's like, oh, is this hard for you? I'm sorry.
It was horrendous. This woman was just being beaten down verbally on television. Then he's like, I need a break. By the way, I love how all these men just decide that they need a break, right? They need to step away. Oh. Well, how fortunate for you, because you know that, I mean, you can't have a break apparently with your children or having any responsibility. No, 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 no. You just need to walk away and get your own time and own head together. Kate, it made my blood boil. And you saw this poor girl that has just gone through life feeling completely abandoned her entire life, from her adoption issues, being part of a community that just completely shunned her. And once again, this man is just like, see ya. And then what happens? She gets back with him. So she gets back with him at the end. So that was her kind of situation. But Jeremiah, now guys.
Oh my God.
So he has decided, as we said, he was adopted like Sabrina was. So he's determined to go and find out about his family. He meets a man that he, to keep this very, very short as we can, he finds a man that he believes is his father. This man was married to his mother. When his mother got pregnant, she was married to this man and he left. And Jeremiah meets him and says, I think you're my dad, because she got pregnant around the time she was, you know, she was married to you and then you left. And he's like, I'm very sorry about everything. I know you're my son. I want you to be part of my life. I want all of this.
He was lovely, I thought.
He was a very nice man.
Yeah.
And Jeremiah changed. That's all all I can say is that this was a completely different person than he was in any previous seasons. All the shit we've spoken about him was true, by the way, it was true. But he just seemed to feel some type of belonging, mm-hmm. and it made him happy and it made him become a nice person.
Yep.
So they decide to do a DNA test, and the father's like, look, I know you're mine, but if you want to do it, let's do it. Mm-hmm. They do it. The man is not his father, but he has the name of who his father is. Now, stay with us here, listeners. His actual father is his mother's brother-in-law. So let's just get this straight. We've got Jeremiah. His mother was married to a man who left when she was pregnant. She had a sister who was married. Jeremiah's mother slept with her sister's husband, got pregnant. Her sister then murdered her husband, which is Jeremiah's father.
In his sleep.
Let that sink in. So Jeremiah not only finds out that this man he likes is not his father, that his real father is actually dead, and that he was conceived from his mother having an affair with her sister's husband, who she ended up killing.
Just horrid.
I
was like, he never had a chance.
He never had a chance, dude. He really didn't. And pretty much everyone's dead. And it was rough. But his wife, even though she's like 34 and a grandmother, so that's a lot of choices. But she is very caring. And she's quite an articulate woman and is very emotionally sensitive. She really is emotionally very, very good to him.
She's a catch for Jeremiah. For him, I think.
Yeah, I thought he's very lucky. Like, he met someone great.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to leave you listeners on such a bombshell, but we had to leave that as the last part of Breaking Amish. Let's give it ratings, Kate, so the dust can settle. Mm-hmm. I mean, what rating? And you know, we've spent over an hour discussing this, so yeah. It was a lot, but there was a lot that went on. So Kate, kind of, what are you thinking here when it comes to Pounds of Learning?
I'll be honest, I gave this a lower score than I'm going to give it now, just because after talking about it more,
yeah,
I realized that I did like it and get more out of it than I thought I did.
Okay.
So I'm going to give it, and remember listeners, this is on a scale of 0 to 600, which is based on one of the network's most popular shows, My 600 Pound Life. That's where I pulled that number from. And it gives us a wide range, and it's pounds of learning. So I'm going to give it 218.
218. Mm-hmm. I give it 234. Yeah, we're very close.
Yeah.
Very close on that. Okay. I mean, we learned that Chapel is apparently a drug runner. Mm-hmm. We learned a lot about just Jeremiah. There was a lot we learned in this. So
family dynamics.
And you know what, we can also close this chapter on Amish. There is no other spin-offs that I know of, so we're kind of finished with the whole Amish chapter now, Kate.
Phew.
Yep, so we're done, guys.
Okay.
I was obsessed with the Amish. I always will be. But I got a good insight in everything that we've covered. I think this is a good time for a break.
Yeah.
So why don't we take a break, and we will be right back. Oh, hello. It's Pauline again. And I am slotting in here between two very important points being made to hawk some of my merch. Hooray! Okay, this will only take a minute. You are obviously a fan of the absurd if you're listening to this. So I'm sure you have a small place in your heart for the gloriously absurd Real Housewives franchise on Bravo. I've created a line of the snarkiest notebooks you will find based on the Real Housewives of New York. They are available on Etsy. Link to my store is in the show notes. Okay, I finished hawking. Back to the show. Okay, and we are back. So let's go on to our second show. Wheel of Shame took us last week from Return to Amish to Extreme Couponing. There's saving a few dollars here and there by clipping coupons. And then there's the super couponers profiled in this program. They share why they are so driven by finding the best deals and show the amazing ways in which they collect coupons, including one woman who sifts through dumpers for the... Okay, I'm going to redo that. Gotta redo. Sorry, Kate. Gotta redo. I'm trying to do my dramatic reading.
Dumpers.
And I fucked it up. Dumpers, basically. Okay, Kate, pretend that didn't happen. Listeners, pretend that didn't happen. Let's go again. Including one woman who sifts through dumpsters for them. Ha! Their shopping skills are first rate as well. Using those clippings to stockpile thousands of dollars in merchandise for a fraction of the cost.
Riveting.
I just can't wait until I start getting my first voiceover gigs, because people need to hire me. Maybe just TLC needs to hire me for any type of voiceover.
Ugh,
for their shows.
That'd be...
It would be great. My narration would be outstanding for these morons. So, as we said, the show is Extreme Couponing. Mm-hmm. Once again, my notes on this are just billions of episodes, which is not hyperbole.
Yeah.
I mean, somewhat. So I text Kate and we don't discuss the pod, but I said, dude, we can't watch any of this. So all of this. So we're watching four episodes. So we went through and we picked four episodes that we thought kind of really established what this shit show was about. So we picked season one, episode one. We wanted to go original. And the fact that one of these... So they have two people each episode they profile. Mm-hmm. One of these was Tiffany, and the other one was J'Aime. She pronounces it Jamie, but all I saw was Jamie, because Chris Lilly is a genius. Chris Lilly is one of my... One of my comedy heroes, going back to Summer Heights High, going back to Mr. G, he is everything to me. So all I saw was Jemay.
Wait, pause. Really quick. Have you listened to the Jemay podcast?
I know that he's doing that, and I have not. I must admit. How
is
that?
It's so funny. I played in the car.
It
and
is
I
good. Okay.
Up. Yeah.
I'm obsessed with him. He is an absolute. First of all, he's a musical genius. He's a phenomenal pianist. Cool. He's a phenomenal writer. He's everything. If you don't know Summer Heights High, then you know nothing about Chris Lilley. When he, the character of Mr. G, was one of the most genius characters he's ever created. All of them are fantastic. Mm-hmm. And any, he does very rarely he does interviews. Whenever I've seen him, he's just such a shy man, which just makes him even more endearing, because he really just envelops and becomes these characters. Oh, he's a fascinating so guy. So I love you, Chris Lilley. I love you. Also sponsored by Chris Lee. So when I saw Jemay, I was thinking it was all about don't be such a fucking bitch. But I thought I could use, oh yeah, god damn. So I thought I could use my accent throughout, but alas, she pronounced it Jamie. Listen, guys, I mean, we really don't need to talk a lot about this. You can imagine what it is. If you don't, I mean, you don't need to have watched any of these shows to know that there are maniacs out there that spend copious amounts of hours finding coupons, cutting them out to get savings. Now you think, well, look, if you're on a budget, that completely makes sense. Got it. You know, people have lost their jobs. There is a really hard time trying to find, you know, to pay groceries and pay stuff like that. I completely understand. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. But then there's greed. Now, I will tell you about my first experience in Costco in America, coming from England. I just use the word consumerism because I have a really, really hard time with going into Costco and Sam's Club and all these places where people are buying stuff in bulk. You don't need it. Stop stockpiling. It's maniacal. It is greedy. It is everything that we should be against. It makes me ill. And basically, that's what the TLC show was about that you had to review this week.
I mean, people wonder, why was all the toilet paper gone during the pandemic? It was these bitches that were like, oh, I'm going to go buy, I have coupons for this. I'm going to go buy out the entire shelf. I mean, that's not true. It was everyone. But still, these women,
but it's not,
they were doing that before the pandemic. They just wipe out the shelf.
It is genuine, this it's greed. It is absolute need for fulfillment by buying things. Mm-hmm. We can go through every show one by one. I don't think Kate and I either want to do this. I don't think our listeners want to do it. But the highlights of it is like Jemay and Tiffany. So Jemay, her husband lost his job. So you're like, I understand. Like, you need to figure out, you have kids. You need to figure out how you can afford stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Get a job. That may sound harsh. That may sound harsh. But the majority of these women, and once again, I have nothing against, I'm going to sound completely the stereotype of someone that dislikes kids and dislikes stay-at-home women. But that is not the case whatsoever. But the majority of these women, I will tell you, there is a woman here, two of them, that said they spend 9 hours a day cutting coupons. Yeah. So that they can get a stockpile. And I thought, get a job instead of sat at your kitchen table. They go into recycling bins to get coupons to stockpile and buy 54 cartons or whatever it is, or bottles of mustard. You don't need that. That is not going to help your family. Go and get a job. Go and socialize. Understand the real world and stop getting all your gratification from just filling rooms in your house of stuff.
It's so stupid. They're like, oh, well, we've saved $40,000 on food. And it's like, yeah, but you're filling, you have toilet paper underneath your son's bed. It's
disgusting.
You're filling your house with products. And to be fair, a lot of them donate some of the food.
Not a lot. Well, I will say out of four, there was one or
okay,
two.
A couple of
there
them.
There was one. But you're right. That was redeeming. There was one woman, because I was going on a complete... If you think this rant was bad, you should have heard what I was screaming to my Pomeranian while I was watching all of this. Because it just angered me to the point, this woman was in the shop and this husband that was so miserable that was following her around the shop, and you see these dead eyes and he's just like, all I want to do is break free. I don't want kids. I don't want a wife. I don't want this life in Nebraska or Pennsylvania or wherever he lives. He's like, I want to go and have an affair with a 25-year-old and just live on the beach. Like, he was so depressed.
He wanted to dip out like Jethro.
but I feel like these guys would look after their kids, but just he needed to get out of this whole situation, because she was saying, yeah, no, grab three more things of mustard. We need
so it's like 50 bottles of mustard. So they clear out the shelf of the mustard, and the husband is like, oh, well, let's leave a few. And she goes, no, let's get all. And they leave one mustard, and he turns to her and he goes, I don't even like mustard. I don't even eat it.
Yeah.
And she goes,
oh, I forgot that. What does that say about your partner? You don't eat. Okay. It was, you know what the show was? Instead of it being titled Extreme Couponing, it should have been titled How Not to Have a Marriage. How to have a horrendous marriage. Do everything that these people are doing. It was dead-eyed husbands and dead-eyed wives and horrendous haircuts. And by the way, these women's joy every week was going to the supermarket. There was one that was like, I need to put on my makeup because I want to look my best.
That was Jamie, I think. And she... So she has the Karen haircut too, with like the chunky highlights and these like
chunky
knee-high like leather boots
over jeans. And yeah,
the rush that she got at the register, yeah, and I'm pretty sure she said she goes four times a week.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
they're just at the register for like 2 hours.
That's what was another thing. This is not like she's going to the shops like the majority of us do. She said, and it was the register, it was 2 hours. This poor checkout girl was like, okay, what's the next coupon? And this rush she got, I just wanted to be like, you should just try cocaine. Like, just try a drug. Because even a coke addiction is going to be better than this. And much more fun.
Honestly.
I mean, this is not...
So she spends, and they frame it like, she got this, this, and this. She spent a retail value of $2,000, but she only had to spend $200. And it's like, oh, this fun thing. And it's really like basically an episode of My Strange Addictions.
Right. And can we add that that's a really good point you just brought up? What they do is, and like we say, we can run through all this. All the shows are the same. They have two people. And what it is going through how they get coupons, how they work out the maths of it all, and then they go into these grocery stores where these poor people that are just trying to get their job and finish their shift are spending hours checking these morons out, and who are just buying, and by the way, it's all junk. Did you see it? It's all like juice that's filled with sugar and like Snickers bars and
bologna,
like mustard. It's like
hot dogs.
Bologna, exactly. It's nothing of any good quality. Like Casamigos tequila that is available at your local Ralph's and good liquor stores.
I could really understand stockpiling dozens of cans of Austin Beer Works Mega Flora Juicy Double IPA.
That just makes sense. Okay. Back to the show. And the food that they're buying is junk. It really is just junk food that has no nutrients at all in it. And what we're not really going through here is that they go, that they do, you know, she, all of this came to, if you bought it, say $2,000, and she spent $98 for all of this. Okay. First of all, majority of it is something she doesn't want. Also, what you have to understand is that she... I have here, the first episode, 6 hours to prepare for a shopping trip. That is an entire work day. You include your lunch break, you include whatever. That is an entire work day that she spends, and she does this 3 times a week, to just... She goes to just look at shelves of stuff.
And they have their kids. Dude. They have their kids in on it too. It's like, God. The kids, instead of doing their homework, they're like clipping coupons with mom. And it's like, okay, I understand teaching your kids good money habits and stuff, but this is other level. It's like all this family is doing. And
it is gross consumerism. It made me ill, Kate. Watching these people.
Yeah.
It really did.
It was terrible.
It was disgusting. And they're just all the same. They just all, you know, they get that there's a genuine physical reaction, like an addiction. I mean, it's a crossover to My Strange Addiction. Mm-hmm. It really is. Of them just being so excited to see this reduction in money. But then you look at it and you're like, you don't need any of this.
No.
You don't need it. There's even one. I mean, we can go through. So it was Jemay and Tiffany. And then we had, Tiffany had shelving in her bedroom. Mm-hmm. To be fair, like, there are some things I have to be a little bit fair about, unfortunately. Tiffany has 7 kids.
Right.
First of all, second of all, she did say that by doing this, they save money for university. So that makes, I got it. Okay, that makes a little bit of sense. Missy and Amy. Oh yeah, carry on.
She also said to the camera, sometimes I feel like the walls are closing in on me. I think she was the one who had used her children's bedrooms. She basically lined her children's bedrooms with canned food and...
She had shelving in her bedroom as well. This was the one that had shelving in her bedroom. She's trying to have sex with her husband, and she's looking at jars of tomato sauce. I mean,
canned corn. It's...
Is there nothing... Anyway. Then we go on to season 1, episode 4. We did Missy and Amy. Missy had stacks of cat treats and just says, don't have a cat. No. So I wrote in capitals, give to a fucking shelter, you moron. Why are there stacks of cat treats when there are animals that are dying in the street because they don't have any care? Yeah. Why don't you give that to a shelter? And she also said, quote, I receive coupons from God.
Oh, yeah. That was so...
So you can imagine my response. My Pomeranian... named Kitten, who is the most stunning angel that's ever existed, as well as Lucy, he had to hear it all. He had to hear it all while I was watching this. I mean, I tried to have it on in the background while I'm doing something else, going for drinks, driving. I can just have it in the background, try and get some knowledge. This one I was actually watching, and appalling. A lot, I get them from God. God delivers them to me. You know what? No, he doesn't, actually.
No.
So, moron.
It's the mailman.
Then we had a piece of shit named Amy. And yeah, I will go on record say piece of shit because they're deer hunters.
Yeah.
So,
I knew you'd hate this one.
Yeah. Of course. So, you pieces of shit decide to go out and kill defenseless, innocent, beautiful animals in the wild because it makes you get a fucking hard on in your shit town with no lives, no aspirations other than growing up and dying in the same area that you live, and also having 93 bags of croutons. That's what they had 93 bags of croutons. Now they are full of, I mean, they're not even croutons, it's not bread at that point. I don't know what it was. It's sodium and it's God knows what. And she, this piece of shit, Amy, also said, quote, God helped me. Ugh. Well, you know what? You believe so much in God. Let's see how he judges you when you've been killing innocent animals, you piece of dirt.
Her husband is with the kids, and he's like, yeah, we don't really even play sports because we'd rather be out in the woods hunting. And I'm like, okay, so this isn't...
I'm going to hunt him. I'm just going to say on this podcast right now, how about we start switching shit up and I'll start fucking hunting you, because I will win, and we're going to protect the animals and we're going to cut out these pieces of human garbage.
Yeah.
I had to just release.
Was Amy.
Moving swiftly on from Pauline's break in her mental faculties, we would like to add that sometimes if you have a break, Casamigos is a great, great option just to smooth it all out. That was Amy. Anyway, next one was season 2, episode 11, Katie and Erin. Katie was 21 years old, getting in recycling bins 10 times a week with 2 kids. Sorry, I just have a lot of sighing on this one. I have a lot of sighing about this. She's 21 with 2 children. She had a basketball scholarship, but apparently she somehow had these 2 kids. So she lives with her parents. She gets some recycling bins 10 times a week to grab coupons. And she still goes, she's going to university.
Going to university, and she, but still has time twice a day.
I know. How? I mean, you know, with partying and 2 kids in university. And she said, this is a quote. I swear to God, this is a quote I had to put down. So as I said, 21, 2 kids. She said, quote, I thought my world had ended when I had them. Thanks, Mum. Hey, Katie's kids, I hope you're listening to this. That's what your mother said. Bad decisions. She checked out for 4 hours and the store was closing.
If I was this cashier...
Okay, these cashiers... Check out for 4 hours. Not shopping for 4 hours. Checking out. And you know what, Kate? I looked at that shit. It was all cookies and crisps, like chips. It was nothing of nutritional value. Nothing. It's just all junk, dude.
It's like, how about you... Because you're supposed to... For a healthy diet, you're supposed to shop around the edge of the store, okay? Because you're getting the produce. You're getting, you know, maybe some milk, maybe some cheese, eggs... Yeah. The middle of the store where they're using coupons. It's all the worst. And I'm not here to shame. I eat chips and shit too, but like,
of course, yes,
these people
sure.
are getting boxes and boxes of this terrible food just because. And some of it, they're like, actually, the store is going to owe me a dollar if I buy this cereal,
right? Because they bought 15 razors. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I'll get $2 back. I really think there is a massive issue with the consumers, and they have an addiction to getting stuff to make themselves feel good. And they completely vocalize it. They completely say, oh, I've got a thrill.
Yeah.
The only thing that really you should be going around the edges, as we say, of a supermarket, go through once in a while in the middle aisles. Right. Because in there you'll find... Casamigos tequila, and I think which you will never get a coupon for. Let's just put that out there. There's some products you will never get a coupon for.
This lady's like, I have to buy these 20 packets of cream cheese, and you know what? It actually freezes really well, but I'm gonna get paid to buy all this cream cheese, and it's like, yeah, you know what else you would get paid to do?
Work
a job.
Get a job. How about you just go and get a... That was what it is. I think that if I had watched this and it had been people that were like, I cut all these coupons out and I made money or I saved money, I would be less angry. I mean, I wouldn't be less angry about the people that kill innocent animals, but I would be less angry at the rest of them. However, you have to understand, listeners, these people broke down the amount of time that they spend doing this. It was insane amount of times. 8 hours in one day, couponing, and they had people in and they were cutting them all out. I thought, if I was the other partner that was at work all day and I came home and I was like, you've been sat at the fucking kitchen table cutting out coupons for mustard, which I don't even like, and this is what you're doing?
Like, how about you come tickle my balls a little bit instead of...
S my yeah. D. Just S my D and I'll be a lot happier.
Like, can you...
But there is none of that going on. There's none of that going on.
Oh, these are all dead bedrooms.
Dead bedrooms. Because they have so much tomato sauce and canned corn. I mean, they just can't.
Can't possibly get in the mood when there's...
She's too anxious about the coupons. Anyway, there were flow charts. There were more morons that we covered. Yeah. There was a 15-year-old boy, but none of us even need to talk about it. It was just, it was awful. Pounds of learning. Oh, just realized on my notes, didn't even give it any. Let me give it now. Pounds of learning for these pile of monsters. I did learn that the time that they spent is even more horrendous than I thought. So I'm going to give them 3 pounds of learning. Okay.
I did 6.
Okay, there we go. All right, end of that. That's done. That's done. These people are horrendous. So, Kate, this is when we get a little bit excited, Kate. We get a little bit of tingling because we are going to our Wheel of Shame. For anyone that is a new listener, welcome. Our Wheel of Shame is where we put all of the episodes on TLC, all of the shows on TLC, we never change this. Whatever the Wheel of Shame pulls for us, we listen. Mm-hmm. We don't change it. We don't alter it. That's what we have. So we'll spin the Wheel of Shame. We'll get 2 shows, and those are the ones that we will be covering, watching, putting ourselves through for the next episode. So, Kate, do you think we're ready to go?
Yeah. What are you hoping for?
Look, I'm a broken record with Alaskan women looking for love. I know I'm a broken record with it. You know what I even did, Kate? I touched on it. I didn't watch it. Don't worry. I was on TLC and I saw it come up and I just read the synopsis and I wanted to press play and I didn't, Kate. I didn't. I was so eager, but I didn't.
You gave yourself a rush, like the grocery lady.
It was a little rush. It was a little rush there, but I thought, no, I'm going to wait until the Wheel of Shame commands me to watch it. What am I looking for? I would like something easy breeze. Yeah. I don't want something too much. I don't want something with a ton of episodes. I'd like maybe an easy breezy destruction of a family unit.
Perfect.
That's always good.
Perfect.
You know, something like that would be great. What about you?
Something I'm curious to watch, and this is a new one that I'm not even sure you have added to the wheel.
I can add. What?
There is a Teen Mom-esque show that I've seen pop up on the app. I believe it's called Unexpected.
Let me check, because I think we have that. I'm going to go through. Listeners, just bear with us. It is on there.
Great.
Unexpected is
so
on
I'm
there.
I'm curious about that.
So we do have
I
that.
Would, I would like to see that. So
you'd like to do that. All right. So without further ado, let's spin the wheel. Kate is spinning. Yeah. Spinning. Let's see. Come on, give us a goodie. Okay. The first one up is... Oh, no. No. The gods, why do you forsake us?
Why?
Kate, you're not ready.
What is it?
Toddlers and tiaras.
No.
Kate, I'm so sorry the Wheel of Shame did this. Kate, I'm so sorry. I don't have control. Not only is this 115 seasons, it is essentially watching children suffer for 115 seasons. This is our Breaking Amish. Like, we just reviewed 2 episodes back, Toddlers and Tiaras, Where Are They Now? And we have now Toddlers and Tiaras. We did 3 episodes before this one, Breaking Amish, and then we had Return to Amish. The Wheel of Shame is playing a joke on us, Kate.
The Wheel of Shame has a sense of humor, and we
are... Kate, Toddlers and Tiaras, how many seasons does this have, for God's sake?
I'm looking right now on Wikipedia.
Guys, this is Honey Boo Boo. This is Children in Big...
Seven seasons.
Listeners, we are not going against the Wheel of Shame. I will go with what it says, but we're not doing seven seasons. I cannot sit... I will end up in Bellevue. I will end up in a mental institution if I have to watch seven seasons of children in bikinis being ogled by men. Like, I can't, Kate.
Oof.
I can't. Listen, listeners, what we're going to do is what we've done before. We'll Google, like, the most... kind of whatever interesting episodes or something like that, or maybe we'll just watch the Honey Boo, but we'll figure something out. But we're not watching along with us, we're not gonna watch seven seasons. It's horrendous. We just went through watching Where Are They Now, getting clips back to these women pouring sugar packets directly in the mouths of four-year-olds to get them hyper. And you know what, and I said, Will of Shame heard me. I said in that episode, when we get to it, Kate, I'm going to be so emotionally bereft. I can't watch it. I'll be crying. I was crying watching these flashbacks.
I can't believe it gave us Toddlers and Tiaras. Okay.
Let's see what we get next. What if we get a Biggie as well? What if we get a 90 Day Fiance? Kate, we're fucked if we get a 90 Day Fiance. Okay. You ready to spin it again? Okay, Toddlers and Tiaras. All right. Let's spin the Wheel of Shame. It's spinning. Give us something. Give us something light, bright, a one-off. That's what we need, a one-off. Yes, a one-off. Easy, okay, it is...
What?
Oh, God, Kate. The Wheel of Shame has spoken. It forsakes us again. Seeking sister wife, up close and plural. No. Guys, listeners, we have literally, we covered Seeking Sister Wife, second episode, third episode. The Wheel of Shame has said, you know what, assholes, you have hated these two shows. Let's get you back at their sequels.
Wow.
Kate, what the hell are we supposed to do? Oh, we can't go against the Wheel of Shame.
Oh, we couldn't possibly.
All right, listeners, so your shitload that you have to listen to for next week's episode is Toddlers and Tiaras. And Seeking Sister Wife, up close and plural. They're all dead-eyed, and the kids are dead-eyed in Toddlers and Tiaras, but don't worry, the men that are watching four-year-olds in bikinis will not be dead-eyed.
Ew. Wow.
I don't want to speak badly of the Wheel of Shame, because we'll never get Alaskan women looking for love if I do, so...
No, that we cannot speak ill of the Wheel of Shame. Or no,
we don't.
That's when it will give us three that's wedding when it will shows really in a row. Spike us. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It will spike us. So Wheel of Shame, we love you. So Kate, to reiterate, we have Toddlers and Tiaras, Seeking Sister Wife, up close and plural for next week. Listeners, if you follow along with us in these shows, we're probably, as I said, we're just going to do sporadic Toddlers and Tiaras. What we usually do is Google top five episodes or top five most controversial. We'll do something like that, and that's what we'll cover. I don't know about Seeking Sister Wife, Kate. I don't know if it's on TLC. I don't know if it's... I'm sure it will. The original was, so probably this one will be. I just hope, please make it a one-off, Kate.
Yeah, I'm unclear on what this is, but...
Okay, well, hopefully, listeners, it's like a one-off. That would be perfect. But we'll do it for you. We will go to those levels. We'll do all of this for you. And we're all powered by Casamigos tequila. So we're doing really well. You know what? Here's the thing, though. I think if George Clooney could be offered anything to put his money behind, it would be a podcast of two people discussing TLC shows. I think it's a great audience for him.
He wishes. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, He really does. We have people in Germany. We have our Switzerland friends. We have our Aussie friends. We have our Canadian friends. We have our Spanish friends. We have everyone that's listening to us. They all want Casamigos. And George, you know, we're doing it for you, mate. We're doing it for you. So, in conclusion, Kate, this is the end of this, another episode of our shit show of reviewing TLC shows. Before we leave, we must go ahead and do some plugs. So guys, once again, we do really genuinely appreciate so much of you following us. And please go ahead and just spread the word with your mates. Tell them that you've been listening to a podcast of two morons reviewing shows about other morons. And, you know, it's worth a listen. It's worth a listen while you're showering, going to the toilet, washing the dishes.
Counting your cans.
Great background. Great background. That's how we should really market ourselves. Not that we actually are offering anything in this podcast, just great background noise. That's what we shared. So we want to say thank you. And we also want to say to all of our listeners, please go and follow us on our social media. So we have our Instagram that is at TLC pod.
No. Tender Loving Care Pod.
Sorry. I don't have my notes. Let me get my notes. That was really unprofessional. See, once again, a moron. Okay, so Instagram and TikTok is Tender Loving Care Pod, and Twitter is TLC Poddy. So Instagram and TikTok, Tender Loving Care Pod, and Twitter is TLC Poddy. Go ahead and follow us there. Agents in the Field, which we mentioned earlier in the show, please email any information you have of being on a TLC show, any information you have about people that have worked on it perhaps, or maybe you've been offered a show, tenderlovingcarepod@gmail.com. tenderlovingcarepod@gmail.com. Kate, do you have anything to plug this week?
I do a Bravo podcast with my friend Bryce. We've kind of been on a break, you'll notice, but we're, you know, we're just taking a break. We've been going for a while and we're kind of revamping and everything, but that's Mostly Bravo. Anywhere you get podcasts and on social media, we're at Mostly Bravo.
Mostly Bravo. Check it out. And by the way, I'm going through all this. I'm running through all this, and I'm realizing Kate is having a massive attack with her right eye. It's watery. Have you got something in your eye?
I think what's happening is my nose is running, and then also my sunscreen, I think, is like going into my eye, and so it's super irritated.
Got it. I mean, I've literally been plowing through this exit material, and Kate is sat there with a tissue to her eye, barely able to even open her eyes, and I'm like, let's keep going, showbiz, babe, showbiz.
Let's go on.
So my plugs for this week, as always, is I have Kate and I fell in love with our love of junk TV, including Bravo, especially Bravo and The Real Housewives. So what I've done is I have actually created a line of notebooks, sweaters, t-shirts, all kind of surrounding the beautiful, chaotic world of The Real Housewives, of all of the franchises. I have an Etsy store, and I also sell in other places, but the best way to find anything is to go to my Instagram page, which is at a Brit in the Sun, B-R-I-T in the Sun. I'm also expanding into pop culture of hot messes of YouTube stars, which has been a lot of fun because the majority of them are hot messes. So I'm really going into, it's a lot of Bravo, a lot of Housewives, but also I'm including other hot messes. So just go to my Instagram, a Brit in the Sun. You can find a ton of stuff there. All right. Well, I think we're out of here. Kate is nearly blind from her sunscreen. I am feeling good because I nearly finished the rest of the Casamigos tequila. And looking for sponsorship. Anyone that wants to sponsor us, we're good with that, right?
Yeah, tenderlovingcarepod@gmail.com. Let us know. And thank you so much for listening, everyone.
Yep, we appreciate it. And tune in next week while we will discuss even more depressing shows, but with the kind of love that a Yank and a Brit has. Thanks so much for listening, guys. We will see you next week. Bye-bye. Bye.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.